This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualification. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
Hulk Hogan Part 2.
I like numero dos.
Part 2, numero dos, whatever you want to call it. The Three Horsemen back in business to talk wrestling, talk old school, let's talk Hulk Hogan. What a surprise. We do a show and the guy is reinstated into the WWE Hall of Fame. Talk about timing.
Say coincidence? I think not.
We planned that.
No shit. Alex.
Vinnie Mac hit me up through email and was like, we've been thinking about this for a while,
right?
So I see that you guys are going to do a show, perfect time, coincide, little cross-producing, you know, cross-promotion.
Love it, pal.
I declined it. I turned him down.
Did you?
Yeah, I told him no. I was like, we're not about a corporate sponsor, Vinnie Mac. Get out of here.
Did he call you a son of a bitch?
Tried that shit one time, and we told him to get out.
Oh, yeah. I like it.
They may be little, yellow, and different, but not to me.
Alex, Big E, Eric, and Corey here today. To jump back into the Hogan stuff, last week we made it from the beginning of his career to the end of his WWF run, so this is going to be WCW, NWO, I don't know how far we'll make it.
I like to call it the fun time.
Yeah, well, the fun time may end up being next week when we get into
NWO
using racial slurs
that's not super fun.
Sex tapes and the like.
Lawsuits.
Breakfast cereals.
Yeah, you know, he got reinstated, so there's a tag team nowadays called the New Day. It's three black guys, Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Rhodes, and they issued a statement. They literally had to issue a statement because it's that controversial that he's coming back. What do you think?
I think it's a good thing. I mean, yeah, obviously it was stupid, the shit he said, but still, it's Hulk Hogan. I mean, the modern fucking father of the business, in my opinion, as far as wrestlers go. I mean, he's the one.
Well, you've got guys on both sides of the fence. I mean, it's like, and part of it makes me wonder, like, you know, did they make the New Day say what they did, or was it, you know, was it legit? Because then you've got guys like Mark Henry, who's just kind of like, almost sounds like he's on the fence himself.
What's Mark Henry saying about it?
Yes, but deep down, they're saying fuck him. I would think.
Probably.
I would think so, yeah. I mean,
but Mark Henry's just kind of like, well, he says he's sorry if he can do the work, or I forget exactly what his quote was, but if he can do the work, then
that sounds like some shit that was fed to
him. We'll bring
him
back.
Here we go. Here's what the New Day said to the WWE Universe and whoever else it may concern. This will be the only statement we make regarding Hogan's reinstatement into the WWE's Hall of Fame. We do not wish to spend energy debating the point because between our kids, external ventures, and this job, our energy is spread thin enough already. LOL.
Lol.
We are only writing this simply to provide an answer to many who have bombarded us with questions on where we stand on this issue. We preface this statement by emphasizing that it is our own opinion and may not necessarily reflect the opinion of anyone else affected. How do we feel? Indifferent. We are not happy or sad, angry or resentful. Who WWE puts in... Man, you know what? Now I see why McMahon always says WWE. He just says WE. Who WWE puts into the Hall of Fame is totally and completely up to the company, and from a career standpoint, there is no argument on whether or not Hogan should have his place. We have no problem with his reinduction in the slightest degree. It is impossible to even begin to mention the history and evolution of the business without mentioning his name and accolades.
That's my thoughts.
On a personal level, when someone makes racist and hateful comments about any race or group of people, especially to the degree that Hogan made about our people, we find it difficult to simply forget, regardless of how long ago it was or the situation in which those comments were made. But we also do not respond with more feelings of hate. Instead, we just do not associate with people who convey or have conveyed this negative and hurtful mindset. This instance will be no different. Perhaps if we see him make a genuine effort to change, then maybe our opinion will change with him. Time will tell. Through the course of our lives, people have used racist comments towards us, and it doesn't feel good. But if we stop moving forward every time we were met with prejudicial hatred, then we would have never achieved our current accomplishments. We know we are worth it, we know our kids are worth it, and most importantly, we know that people that look like us are worth it and always have been. There isn't a person on this planet who will ever be able to say anything to make us think otherwise, because we believe in ourselves as a people and don't need anyone's approval on that, regardless of who they are. Having said that, his reinstatement won't change anything for us. It will have zero effect on our ability to perform or the level of effort we will put into doing what we love to do, and that is to deliver an entertaining product each week for our fan base. Sincerely, The New Day.
Wow. Pretty good. I mean, it's exactly the logical person and a normal person's way of thinking on this, I would say. On a personal level, kind of fucking for that shit. But on a professional and wrestling level, I mean,
you know, there were other guys that had worked with him that came out and said, this guy's the least racist guy we know. Now, I mean, to them,
yeah,
he made him money.
Who's that? I mean,
Virgil.
Oh, well, okay.
Did Booker T say this?
No.
Okay.
He said he was coming for him. Booker T said he deserved another chance.
Did he really? Well, that's good.
That's all we've got. What?
I can't get
He did say he was coming for him, did he not?
He did.
I mean, 20 years ago, but he still said it.
He did.
That promo is forever stuck.
It's so good. We're coming for you. Oh, I can't even do it.
Be in Josh Hader country. You baseball fans know what
that.
I'm talking about.
I have no clue.
Do you guys remember... Not to get off for too long, do you guys remember the McMahon promo like he was doing with Cena, and then he runs into Booker T in the back, and he's like, what's up? And then,
N-word.
Is that what he said?
With an A on the end, not a hard E-R.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I soft-A'd it. That's, I guess, acceptable to some.
Yeah.
To some. No, I'm not,
some.
I'm just saying some accept that.
Yeah.
You hard R it. That's me.
Yeah, that's not good. Probably
hard
shouldn't be saying that.
A punch to the face.
Usually. I don't know. It's getting popular again these days. Is it? Confederate flag sales are up. Anyway, they literally are, but okay. Let's get to Hogan shit. Which that was Hogan stuff. I mean, come on. We finished off in 93. So at that point, Hogan had done a little thing where he came back and beat Yokozuna and all that. You guys know what happened. He did some he did some dates after that. Anyway. So
anyway.
He essentially retires. And goes to do, I know it's at least the Hicks brothers' favorite television show, nostalgia-wise, Thunder in Paradise.
Play with me is like playing with your life or something like that.
Yeah, it's all right.
Remember that theme?
Thunder
in Paradise.
Sure
mess
don't.
With me is like a playing with your life. Something like crap like that. It was horrible.
Really?
Horrible reggae.
Was it, man.
It was literally like someone Jamaican singing it?
I don't know. I don't recall. I in my mind it is. We should probably find that. Hold on.
Well, we are going to find it. A Thunder in Paradise theme. Now, this was Hogan's attempt at, and it was only, I don't know if that was exclusive to TNT or if that was a show that was syndicated. I would have thought.
I remember seeing it on Channel 11 eventually.
Well, let's find out.
Like, it was played like right after Baywatch for a while, I think.
This is the theme for the show?
This does not seem familiar.
Yeah, we got him.
I think Thunder in Paradise might have been on Showtime late at night.
This is not what I remember. Are you sure this is the right one?
Funny thing is, it actually sounds pretty similar to how you sung it.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was thinking how bad it sounds. Yeah, but that was his show. And it seemed like Hogan was going to go Hollywood. I don't know if something good could have come out of that. But Bischoff takes over WCW. No? Is that not it?
No, that's the one. I'm just full of shit, I guess.
Yeah.
Bischoff takes over WCW, and Flair says we can get Hogan. And that's what happens. They go and get Hogan. Now, do you guys remember Hogan's initial coming into WCW or no? It's funny, they just talked about this.
I remember
Bischoff show.
It was at Disney where they did the big like parade. They had the Viper, the red and yellow Viper, if I remember correctly.
I definitely remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
It was a big deal.
Yeah. No, Bash at the Beach where he turned.
No, well, he came into the company with Bash at the Beach.
Was it?
Yeah, 94.
Yeah, his very first match in, he beats Flair for the belt.
For that lovely belt you got sitting right there, in case you're watching on YouTube, big gold in the house. You got us some background
except
here?
Except it's got Flair's name on it. You can just disregard that part. But this is the only belt that I have that was kind of relevant to our discussion today. So
I like that belt.
Here she be.
Oh, there's nothing more beautiful. If you can find the original footage, which is on, it's either on the network or it's on YouTube. Find this belt when they debuted this thing. I mean, my God.
That's pretty, man.
Oh, it's the best looking belt probably in the history of wrestling.
I remember
10 pounds of gold. Or no, sorry, that's not 10 pounds.
Yeah, the so you and Corey and I were just having a discussion about this yesterday. I think all the belts at that point like looked identical, regardless of what company it was. WCW, WWF at the time, WCCW. They all had like the same shape. So then Flair brings this mammoth thing out, and it's like, wow, they decided to actually differentiate their world title from everything else that looked the same.
Now, the best thing that they did was they said it was so good looking, let's put black hairspray on the front of it.
That was so bad.
And they spray painted it in WWF.
Yeah.
What kills me is that they actually sell these, I mean, like replica versions that actually have NWO on them, and they're the most hideous thing you could ever buy. But I mean, even now, I mean, you could probably research it. I'll be honest, I have not looked, but WWE.com probably sells them, and they probably still sell.
Yeah, you could probably just do that yourself.
Probably, yeah. So.
If you just get some black hairspray,
I think you go down to Dollar General. They got it for like $2 a can.
There you go. See, you just save yourself some money right there.
Can we do that this afternoon with yours?
No. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
It comes right off.
Yeah, like a little turpentine.
Whatever.
A little gasoline.
Alex.
I remember back in the day, you could actually take a brown paper bag that you get at the grocery store, take one end, cut it down the middle, then cut the bottom off so you could spread it out and then draw your outline of a belt. That's how I used to always make mine, and then spray paint NWO all day long.
Wow, I never did that.
No.
And I don't think I ever made a belt.
We'll make one later.
Anyway.
Oh, God, no more Thunder in Paradise. Jesus.
Oh, that was
keep
perfect.
It going, Corey. Keep it going.
Anyway, the other thing I remember about Hogan coming in is how skinny he had gotten. You guys remember how much different he looked?
No, I was so young, I don't remember how he looked.
Beefy 303 Hogan in, 87 to 94, basically, or 93, basically. And he comes in, he's svelte. He's probably like 270, a little
less.
He's
trimmed.
Yeah.
He was so, it was that
his legs look smaller. Honestly, wearing those like Lycra pants or whatever he wore, you could actually tell then that his legs look smaller than normally did. Like, don't skip leg day, bro.
Legs were shot. I don't know. I thought he looked better. You can tell when he did those, was it Speed Stick? He did Speed Stick.
Right guard. Wasn't it right guard?
Oh, it was right guard.
Anything less would be uncivilized, wasn't that it?
I think so.
I think it was right guard.
Somebody. But he had darkened his eyebrows. And I think a lot of this goes into doing TV and TV and film work. But that's why you do that, things like that. And that's why he lost so much weight. Because you're going to be on TV. You're going to be in movies. Remember when you didn't want to look like a fucking steroid freak on television or in a movie?
I don't remember that.
Because The Rock's... Well, The Rock lost a bunch of weight when he went to do movies.
The Rock's fucking cut.
Dude, have you seen The Rock in those Fast and the Furious movies? He looks like a goddamn tank. He's got muscles on top of his muscles on top of his muscles in those movies.
Like Goldberged out for sure. Like,
so he looks like that now, but whenever he first started, like he was the same way. Like, just super, I don't know if the word is not lean, but I mean, just he had trimmed down.
Yeah. Just a standard, muscular physique.
So
but now if you poked him with a pin, he looks like nuclear waste to shoot out of his ass.
Yeah, something's going. Yeah.
I mean, he's fucking gigantic.
Well, I mean, it's easy for those guys to just go to the doctor, though, and get steroids prescribed to them.
So I understand that, but there's a difference between, like, guys, who can I name that was just a steroid guy? Like when Steiner blew up.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, there's a difference between seeing steroids or whatever. You can tell when somebody's taking certain things. I mean, if you're taking HGH or whatever you're taking, there's a difference between guys that have all the veins popping everywhere to where it looks like, ugh, and a guy who just got bigger.
Yeah.
And, like, put on weight and is a muscle guy, but they still eat some shit that ain't the best for
you.
You
mean like Mark McGwire on the Athletics versus Mark McGwire for the Cardinals?
How dare you talk about that man
in a
negative way.
It's a true story.
He only took steroids.
Look at the motherfucker.
To heal.
His arm
was hurt.
Bigger than the bat.
Those steroids just happened to help him get bigger. He took them because he was hurt, improve his performance.
Never.
And all of our listeners agree.
Side effect.
I'll speak for our listeners.
I mean, the guy down the street who smokes meth only does it because he's tired all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, if he didn't work so much, he wouldn't have to.
Thank you.
Someone call Tio. Let's get UFC going while we're on this tangent.
Oh, Tio, love you.
What did this devolved into a John Bones conversation? Is where this was going?
Jesus. Yeah, there's a guy who looks like he's on steroids.
He doesn't look like it
at all.
But God, he is, and he just can't pass a fucking drug test post fight. Fucking do it.
Lesnar looks like he's on something.
That's because he is. Yeah, 100%.
Whoa! Lesnar's never pissed dirty in his last week.
This morning. He hasn't pissed 30 this morning.
Yet today.
Because they haven't tested
him. Well, I think
him today.
He only eats red meat, so he probably hasn't had a bowel movement of any kind in the past,
Can you imagine? I mean, month? Steroids or not. Can you imagine getting thrown around by fucking Brock Lesnar, though? I mean, that's scary.
I imagine.
That dude's fucking
nightly.
Huge.
I can't. I can't imagine what it would be like to get hit by a boxer.
I think if you locked all four of us in this room with Brock Lesnar and told us, you guys have to walk out or he's walking it, we're done. Dude. We're not walking out of here. Four of us against Brock Lesnar.
I'll take one for the team, and I'll try to just toss my weight onto him, and you guys just work him as much as you can while I'm taking a beating.
How about I just shit myself and sit in the corner?
Rub it on him a little? That
Maybe.
Might freak him out enough.
Hit him with the light.
I'm like, you remember that diverticulitis? Ah.
You hold him, you hit him with a belt.
Yeah, there you go. Alex comes up, smashes him in the back of the head with a belt.
We'll get out of the business.
We'll be in good shape now.
Back to Hogan. Anything? Now, the old, whatever you want to call it, I guess consensus is that red and yellow didn't work in WCW. It's not true.
I don't think it's that. Yeah, I think it's true.
Now, it wore on people after a while. His run in WCW, I want to say his one of his first reign was like a year and a month or two.
I don't know.
It was way too long. And he had some losses in between there. I think he did some stuff with the Giant. He never lost to Flair early on. But did that flip you guys over? I mean, I know you guys were watching WWF, because if you know fucking Doink shit, then you know there was another channel. Did you know, or did it make you guys watch WCW?
I watched both.
Yeah,
when possible, possible, yeah. I mean, like, we got a remote, man. It wasn't like the 60s.
I know.
We could change back and forth.
Yeah, I agree.
Even if we didn't have a remote, I'm getting my ass up and working the dial.
Okay, yeah, that's a fair point. We did not have a remote back then, but we watched them both, for sure.
Yeah, I watched both, but I... Admittedly, watched WCW more whenever
during that
Hogan
era.
Jumped on.
Yeah. There's only three channels, right? 25 to 28.
Because you got
to
remember, once Hogan was there, then you got Savage came in. And
Savage was there
else?
Before Hogan, wasn't he?
Yeah, I guess USA wasn't. Yeah, I think you're right.
25 to 28.
What were you saying now?
Was Savage there before Hogan? I thought he
no,
was.
Savage got in about 6 months later.
Did he?
Yeah.
Something in my mind, I just cannot remember him in WCW, Macho Man. I just can't do it.
That's
I don't
because
fucking
each
know
of
why.
His title reigns lasted one day each.
Right around there.
I cannot
literally.
Remember
who
him
was
in
used worse in WCW, Bret Hart or Macho Man? Because they were both horribly misused. I mean,
Macho
Bret Hart
Man
could have been better, but...
Macho Man got over.
You think?
Yeah.
Yes.
What about near the end of his run, whenever he was more or less just a joke?
See, I wasn't watching
joke.
By then.
Yeah.
Oh, he would. No, he came back... juiced up.
That's the last I remember of him. I guess that's a good point.
He came back
ultra juiced, yeah.
Looks like he looked in Spider-Man.
Exactly. Bonesaw is...
He was fucking ripped in Spider-Man, wasn't he?
Jesus.
God.
blown. Really savages, and we're going to end up.
Got you for 3 minutes.
We're going to end up doing.
Like this.
We're going to end up doing a show on Savage. Really, his reigns only lasted a day?
I take that back. So
okay.
Savage's first reign was 31 days, then yeah. Flair beat him. And then you've got his second one. Where's that? Randy Savage, January 22nd, 96. So that one was 20 days, then Flair beat him. Third reign, Savage, April 19th, 98, won at Spring Stampede. 1 day, Hogan beat him the next day.
On Nitro.
Savage, fourth reign, July 11th, 99, Bash at the Beach.
Whoa.
Next day, Hogan, July 12th, 99.
What?
That
Man,
sucks
I
for
tuned
him.
Out.
Yeah, I remember those last two because he literally won it at a pay-per-view, then lost it the last night on Nitro.
So do we have a list of Hogan title reigns in WCW? Because if you guys can think of anything he did, if you guys can think of something he did in red and yellow that I can't remember anything besides wrestling Flair. I know he wrestled Vader. I know he wrestled the Giant. I know a lot of that stuff, but I can't remember shit he did in red and yellow.
Well, because the NWO thing was so hot that you pretty much just forget what he did the first couple of years he was there.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of it was because of this Dungeon of Doom crap and just...
Oh, there you go.
Throwing him in, what was the... Tower of Doom or whatever.
That cage that whatever. He beat up everyone in the company on the way down.
So it's literally Hogan and Savage versus everyone in Dungeon of Doom. You've got Anderson and Flair in there too. You've got Luger in there, and it's just one
clusterfuck. That's what you call it. Call it the drizzling
shit. Say one thing about WCW, but they knew how to throw fucking everybody into an angle. You know what I mean? Just who's free?
Yeah, but that's not always good.
It's not always good, but they did it every time. Think about like whenever Ready to Rumble came out.
Oh, God.
And all that shit going around with Arquette. Every single person with a name was basically involved with that.
You do the movie Ready to Rumble and you don't even have Hogan in it.
Why would you have Hogan in that movie? Honestly, he's a star. You throw him in there with those guys, it completely overshadows everything else.
I think he's in the middle of Nietzsche.
I mean, that's why you have Oliver Platt in there. You know what I mean? Playing whatever, the king or whatever he was. You got to have a big name, but it can't be a real big name. DDP was a big name, but not near Hogan name.
Come on.
Hogan probably refused to do that movie because he knew it wasn't going to make money.
Come on. This is like right around the time the third Three Ninjas movie came out.
Yeah, I was
going
to say Hogan had script approval, but he still did fucking Suburban Commando.
Love that movie.
It was probably,
fuck you, man.
It's probably one of those things,
dead
too.
Dead meat, Randy.
Him and Sherman Helmsley kicking it.
Was it Sherman Helmsley? I guess it kind of Sherman Helmsley's character.
That was Mr.
Lloyd.
Nanny.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Nanny was great. Sherman Helmsley was his like manager or whatever. Remember whenever they dumped
Mr.
him in
Nanny
the pool
was not great.
No, it wasn't.
Give me a break. That dude had the chrome dome. I'm getting a headache. You don't remember that?
No.
Jesus, I don't remember it either.
Wow.
That was from Surf Ninjas.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Hold on.
If anybody knows the answer to these questions, feel
free
to...
Didn't he get into it with Dennis Rodman? Wasn't there a Rodman match?
Oh, yeah. Hogan? There's plenty of shit once we get to the NWO.
Yeah.
I'm
just trying to name two things he did while he was in red and yellow.
This guy. Remember he had the like the metal top of his head?
Yeah. You know who that is?
Wasn't that from Surf Ninjas?
Nope, that's Mr. Nanny.
You know who that is?
Looks like the dude from You Keep It Hoppin'. Oh, that is David Johansen.
Yeah, he was the lead singer of the New York Dolls.
Right, yeah. He was
A.
Buster Poindexter in lead singer of New York Dolls.
He was Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds?
No, that was Tim something or other. Forget.
Oh, my God. The fuck do you guys know those? Anyway.
He's a great actor. He was in that baseball movie with the kid who pitched really fast. He was the redhead.
Henry Rowan Gardner?
Yeah, he was the redheaded dude that went out with the dude's mom. That was Poindexter from Revenge of the Nerds.
Wow.
Yes, I knew that.
Okay.
Timothy Busfield.
Busfield.
Yeah.
The Rookie? What the fuck was the name of that movie?
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. That's
that's the one where the kid fell on his shoulder and John Candy, I believe.
Rosenbagger.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a good thing we don't have anyone listening on or watching on the YouTube
stream
right now.
Oh, no, they wouldn't be talking. They wouldn't know.
We just call
the
show 90s Nostalgia because that's what the fuck.
That's what this has turned into.
Yeah.
If there's anybody who's 90s, it's Hulk Hogan.
Hey, I got some 90s nostalgia for you. Giant and Hogan, Halloween Havoc, end of the match. You've got Giant having Hogan in a bear hug, and you've got the Yeti.
The Yeti.
The Yeti.
See, you guys don't remember this shit.
No, I don't remember the Yeti.
The Yeti.
It is extreme wrestle crap. The Yeti. He was just a big guy in bandages.
Ron
He's
Rice.
So forgettable that, I couldn't even name him.
He looks like a mummy, but anyway, so you've got Hogan is,
that is briefly, a mummy.
Giants got Hogan in a bear hug. Then you've got this mummy-looking guy coming up and just looks like he bear hugs him from the other side and just dry-humping Hogan.
Oh. You've seen Night at the Roxbury, right?
I have.
The sketches, that's what it looked like.
Oh.
When the girl would get between them, they just hump the shit out of her. That's what, that's what it looks like.
That's very funny, though.
Well, it's fucking hilarious. That's what it looked like, is it not?
I couldn't
There's your 90s nostalgia.
Yeah. No shit.
So this it kind of starts going south, you know, and you do have to appreciate with Hogan they were able to start Nitro about 14 months after he came in. So Nitro's on the board. They go to war with WWF, and less than a year after they start Nitro, Hogan is starting to get, you know, booed a little more. The world is changing a little, well, the United States is changing a little bit more. But things change, and they decide to develop this NWO with the signing of Nash and Hall. Now, luckily, Tim brought this up when we weren't talking about any of this. Can you guys name somebody else, or how different would this have looked if they would have picked a different third guy?
Than Hogan? They didn't have, from what I understand, they didn't even know it was going to be Hogan until, like, right, you know, soon before. Like, they had called Bret Hart, from what I understand, and talked to, you know, Bret Hart about, hey, WCW is great over here, way better than what you're used to over there at WWF.
But it didn't, at least at some point, like, try to bring him in and maybe waste time with that.
Right.
Although, I don't know. You can listen to Bischoff's podcast. That guy takes fucking credit for a lot of shit. Jesus Christ. And I guess he deserves to.
I was going
to
say, well, I mean, didn't the dude do the shit, though?
Some of it. I mean, creative is a different thing.
I liked
than
his
producing.
Character where everybody hated Bischoff. You know what I mean? I like that they made that, like, the you know, you hate him.
Smart little weasel.
Yeah, you fucking hate Bischoff. It was great.
Thanks to Hogan.
Yep.
Thanks to Hogan.
Yeah, and I think to your question, if you do it with any other wrestler, it does not look the same.
No.
I mean, to kind of, I guess, so Bret Hart, Sting, whoever else you try to throw in that role, even, you know, throw Savage in that role, it
would have been a big deal. It wouldn't have been as big a deal.
Oh, not nearly. Not nearly. Because, I mean, you've got the takeover angle. Who's bigger than Hogan that would fill that role?
Nobody. There's nobody can be more
you know, effective than that.
Can't do it with Sting.
Sting would have been close.
No, because he was never a WWF guy.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been a
true, but
takeover.
Think about it would have been a pretty big swerve, you know, seeing the number one babyface in WCW join the Outsiders, you know what I mean? Fuck it, I'm moving over. I mean, that would have been, it'd have been big. It probably wouldn't have been as big as Hogan eventually.
He did, yeah.
Well, there was the whole, only thing's for sure is nothing's for sure, 15 months in the ceiling, but.
See, here's why I think it fit, though, because like Corey said, leading up to that, you had Hogan that, you know, people were getting tired of it. You even had people, if you go back and watch episodes of Nitro, where, so Flair and Arn Anderson both got pinfall victories over Hogan on Nitro. Now, granted, you know, he would get hit in the head with a high heel or whatever.
Yeah, nothing clean.
But you would see people in the audience just like, they were loving it that Hogan was getting beat. So you had guys in creative, you know, rolling around thinking, like, what do we got to do to fix this? Because we can't have our horsemen guys that are supposed to be heels.
Yeah, you didn't see Hogan lose clean.
It's not even so much as not being a heel. It's so much as you're a baby face, but you're a joke. You know, you're starting to, people are starting to be like, not take you seriously as the baby face. Not caring, you know, you're becoming irrelevant.
Yeah, you know something else? Hogan came in, you know how old he was when he came in the WCW?
45?
40.
Yeah, as you say, he's old.
I mean, he was a fucking... Now, you know, you see these guys that are 40 and they're just ripping shit. But back then, that was... I mean, you were considered
an
past old-timer. Your days. But you're still Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that's going to change that. Now, we've talked about him and, you know, Bash the Beach, all that. You know, he does the turn. It's the biggest turn in the history of wrestling because nobody, at least when the wrestling boom hit in 84... Nobody saw Hogan as a bad guy before that. Or if they did, it was out of the memory bank.
Yeah, don't.
So to all of us kids, whoa, this is a big. It was a big fucking deal.
Dude, whenever he came out of that Bash at the Beach, and he looked like he was coming out as the hero to help out, who was it, Luger and Sting?
Yeah, Luger, Savage and Sting.
Yeah, that's right. And then the fucking turn happens, and the fans in the audience go nuts and just fill the ring with crap. Oh, it was so good. Never been so riveted by a production in my life.
So, okay, question for you guys. So if you go back and listen to, I want to say it was Pritchard's podcast, during the walkout where Hogan's coming out of the dressing room, he's walking down, Heenan is like, well, whose side is he on? Mm-hmm. And then I think Dusty Rhodes is on commentary. He's like, are you kidding me? To me, I think they should have left that part out.
Yeah, that's too much of a foreshadow.
But Pritchard said he thought it made it better.
I agree. I think it made it better.
Why? Really? Did he kind of plant that little seed right then and there? Like, yeah, of course Hogan's not coming in to do it. You know, he's coming out here to help? Or do you think that's what that kind of...
See, okay.
Because they're saying that shit on purpose to elicit a certain response.
Well, if you say whose side is he on, then you as a viewer are like, wait a minute, what the... What? Yeah,
like, I never
you automatically assumed he was coming out to help the good guys before
that, and that's
they
my point,
that.
Too. Like, why confuse a viewer at that point with saying whose side he's on? Like, do I have the time in the next minute and a half to fully consider the ramifications of a heel turn right before it happens? I don't, generally.
Bobby Heenan also said, oh, Jannetty tried to escape through the window.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus. He did shit for levity.
Anything Heenan says, it gets a pass.
That's yeah.
So, love that. So, guy. My thought at the time was, so I'm watching this as best as I can live because it's, you know, we didn't order the pay-per-view, so it's like everything's
scrambled.
Been there.
Fucking A.
But I heard that and I was like, huh, surely not. And then they do it. And then at the time I'm just like, that kind of not gave it away, but I don't know. At the time I didn't like it. But going back and watching it now, I agree that it did make it better.
So, yeah, think about this. Like, the fans needed that little comment.
Yeah.
Because if he just came out and did that, and, you know, I mean, maybe it wouldn't have went how they planned. Maybe they would have totally just been like, fuck that.
But here's the thing, though. The people in attendance can't hear Bobby Heenan. So.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, it was for the home show.
But if you'll notice, Hogan does this subtle, I don't know what you'd call it. So he's walking out. Someone tries to stick a sign in his face, and he basically just... does that to, you know, to it.
So you already know he's the bad guy.
Well,
dissing fans.
It's something, it was a plant. It was a seed. Like, you knew mm-hmm. that it was.
Mm-hmm. Foreshadow more.
Now, of course, you know.
It was psychological. All these things combined, his comment, the brushing off of the sign, could put your mind in a place where you can accept this heel turn.
Right. Now, again, I could, you know, watching the scrambled live, I couldn't see that part. But if you go back and watch and he brushes the sign off of him or whatever, it's like, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you something else I don't think they've talked about. He comes out in red and yellow. He's in a yellow shirt. Not one of his. They had spray painted Hulkster on it in red outlined in black. It wasn't one of his shirts that they sold. It was in a shirt they were like at the last second, like, oh, fuck, put a shirt on. That's what it looks like to me anyway. Or maybe he had it the day before in town.
It's on the network, right? That whole pay-per-view, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You can go back and watch it. But I'm serious.
Free trials, like a week free trial?
I can get you credentials right now.
Fuck, I think you can just sign up for
free. WWE Network? Yeah, I gotcha. I got it.
I tell you what, it's one of the ones where, here, sign up, and then they start charging your credit card eventually.
Hey, what's the app on that Charter? There's a Charter app, and it has,
is this relevant?
Yeah, yeah, it's like a wrestling. So the Spectrum app that you can do for your Roku.
Sure.
There's also another app right there that's like strictly wrestling, not the WWE Network, and I can't remember the name of it. I'll find it.
So just there's a wrestling app in Roku.
I'll look for it. It's very good.
Check it out. Also check out Yo Radio. You'll go to YoRadio.com. Download the app. It's good stuff. It's got a bunch of stations on it that will soon have some celebrity stations.
I was actually listening to, I've been getting into reggae lately. Like, that's maybe why I thought Thunder in Paradise was reggae.
Yeah.
We got a really good station called Reggae One on Yo Radio. It's pretty good. So if you're into that, check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Is there a Reggae Two?
Not yet.
There will be soon. Yeah, check it out.
There is the Marley family is coming on to do an entire Marley family like reggae station. So that's pretty cool. We just signed with Stephen Marley and they're bringing the whole Marley family on.
There's also been some rumors about a gal named Ratchford.
I don't know about that one
yet.
She
goes by the name Abigail. Well, there's rumors. We can throw out rumors. Fuck, we're a wrestling podcast. You live on rumors. Check it out. YoRadio.com. Check out the Lineup Media station too. We'll be on there occasionally. You can check out the other shows. You can check us out on iTunes, The Three Horsemen Show. Type it in. You'll find us. Give us a 5-star rating. I was saying, going to give, you know, give whatever rating you need, but just give us 5 stars. Get it over with. Check us out. Facebook.
Hey, what's it to you?
Facebook.com/numeral3horseman show. Same with Twitter. Twitter.com/numeral3horseman show. YouTube.com/numeral3horseman show. And of course, Eric and E.
Why is that still up there?
Why not? You guys are on there. You guys are on this show. All we're doing is cross marketing.
That's
why
fair.
Is it still on there?
Yeah.
Well, because I haven't went around to make the new thing yet. This is the only one I had that had 4 upper. So I've just been using it.
I just fucking noticed that. Like, wait a minute.
Welcome to 5 weeks ago.
As you listen to Eric and Big E, they are the hosts of the Surreal Talk podcast. Best DM show on the network.
Well, I don't know about that.
And as I've said before.
Two birds on a bat's pretty good, bud.
As I've said before, recently rated a top 5 show in my opinion. And that's what matters right there. Check it out. Check us out on YouTube. You're already there. Some of you. Actually, none of you. Perfect.
But you will be going back and watching it.
That's right.
If you really want to see these beautiful belts that Alex brings in every week, you ought to hit the YouTube channel. He's got one in front of him, a different one every show. So
I'm starting to run out, though.
That's okay. We don't have a lot of people coming back, so you can just cycle them.
It's all right. Yeah, our sponsors.
We were talking earlier, though, to interrupt. I kind of want to pull the old wrestling, the wrestling move where I kind of turn backwards away from Alex and turn around towards him and let him smack me in the head with a belt. Just to kind of see how that goes.
I kind of want to see that, too.
Alex is like, forget you guys. These cost hundreds of dollars. I will be hitting no one.
One, no dents. Two, no blood.
Yeah.
Hey,
but hit me with a working belt.
Well. So if I'm going to make this authentic, if you guys remember, the top was dented in.
It's true.
So
really,
curved. I don't recall. That.
It was curved in. Yep.
I wonder why.
Don't know.
Could have been a tough hit on somebody's head. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember that honestly.
It was supposedly way back when it was.
Flair probably dropped it on a trip to fucking Tijuana or something.
Yeah,
drunk.
It was. Somewhere in the Caribbean, I think Flair was working a...
See?
What's the Mexican promotion?
Bordello. Oh, wait.
Whoa, wait.
What? Sorry. Go ahead.
No.
WWC.
No.
It's Colon's. World Wrestling Caribbean.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he was he was wrestling somebody. He was going for a finish to hit him with the belt, dropped it, landed on the top end, and just...
Probably one of their big stars, like Jack Bonino or something.
Like real gold, though, right? And the original belts they had, like...
Well, that's the rumor.
Right.
That's the rumor. Anyway, getting back to NWO Hogan, remember, you guys will remember, you listeners will remember, they started doing the different stuff, where they do the black and white promos and things like that. Did you guys care that Hall and Nash... After they switched from doing their, I mean, Nash was Nash, Diesel's whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Scott Hall, that guy never left that fucking Razor Ramon behind. He was always
He's
saying,
still
I liked it. Exactly.
I can remember watching his promos before he ever started. I can remember watching those promos of him like, I'm oozing much Razor Ramon. And I just think to myself, like, that's a cool motherfucker right there. And I bet he comes into WWE and just beats ass. WWF back then. And just beats ass. Like, a little fucking hair thing
right.
He had going on. Yeah, yeah.
So
his best character by far.
So did you notice as a kid, or do you notice now, how deliberate those two were in being like, hey, you know, we're the baddest guys. Want to try us on? The big Mang, the medium-sized Mang, and Hogan... On the other end would be like, you talk about the, you know.
Yeah. What do you, what
the
notice?
NWO brother. Just so cartoon bad guy.
Over the
top.
Oh,
yeah, they had to sell it, man.
Over
yeah.
the top.
Do you think around
Is
this
that
time,
good or bad, though?
Around this time, I think, like you were saying earlier, and tell me if you think I'm on the right train of thought with this. You remember the movie Predator and how badass that movie was? Yeah. How over the top all the machismo was, the big muscles, and how serious they were about it. But somewhere around 1990-ish or so, that movie became funny rather than cool.
Around 90?
You get my point. Somewhere around that time.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying that type of movie where it's the over-the-top, super macho, big muscles everywhere.
Top Gun.
No, not Top Gun.
No,
Top Gun was
I'm not talking about muscles, but the over-the-top, the cool, they try to sell it, and later on down the road,
well, think
you
about that,
at it like cheesy
think
shit.
Think about that scene in Predators, or Predator, I know you've never seen it, where Arnold Schwarzenegger and
Carl Weathers
do the fucking mid-air arm wrestle. You know what I mean? When I was younger, that was the coolest. These guys have giant fucking muscles. But
they
again,
were kind of sweaty and glossy and
right
shit.
Right around 90, 91, 92, that kind of shit started to become like, oh, okay, these two guys are so cool with their big-ass muscles.
And if it happened nowadays, it'd be called a meme. They'd meme it out.
You know what I'm saying? It's just people stopped thinking that was cool to be the big-ass, brawny superhero type of, you know, real-life superhero. Okay. So whenever Hogan's out there still doing this, it's just kind of like, ah, you know what I mean? I've seen this before.
But people did eat it up.
For a little while.
Yeah, I mean, the promo Bash at the Beach, whenever he turned, like, he could have said anything, done any kind. He could have made it as cartoony as he wanted, but it still would have been, at the time, you know.
But my point is not that. It's how his character, the red and yellow Hogan, was losing traction just because, like you said earlier, America was changing. And the way that we used to look at these macho stars as fucking cool and tough with their big muscles and their greased up bodies, it kind of got to be a joke after a while.
Well, if you notice, he always did the, I'm a bad guy. But then if he got on camera with Dennis Rodman out of the ring, he'd just talk like, yeah, brother, we're, you know, nobody beats the NWO. You know, we're just chilling.
Yeah, but he would sell
but
it.
He did not do that in the ring. He still did the fucking super bad guy, gravelly voice. Yeah.
You can call us the New World Organization, brother.
That's
that
right.
That was pretty good.
That sounded more like McMahon.
Well, I think they kind of sound the same. But I just always thought that was odd. And but to counter that, NWO, WCW and Monday Nitro go on an 83-week winning streak with their TV. 83 fucking weeks.
That's pretty good. Insane. I mean,
that's longer than a year. Quick math.
The amount of almost a year and a half. It's probably even more than
that. It is more than a year.
But anything they spent on Hogan and Hall and Nash was obviously fucking worth it once you get to that simple fact of that many weeks in a row, number one, worth it.
So did you have an NWO shirt?
Personally, I don't think I actually...
Oh, Eric's raising his
hand. I had one.
I don't think I ever actually owned one, though.
I repped red and black, though. Actually, I had a red and black and a white and black.
Yeah, you
though,
had both.
Yes, of course I had an NWO shirt.
I don't think I ever owned one.
I used to walk around
too
doing
cool
the...
Yeah, giving a little flair, old Jarrett.
Oh, man, Buff Bagwell.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, gosh.
Eric is getting out of his chair. I'll give you a play-by-play. Oh, and you can see it on the... There.
That's pretty good.
He is buff and he is the stuff.
That was pretty good. I got to give
it to
you.
I used to fucking love Buff Bagwell, man.
And
then,
the only one. Then
Rick Steiner broke his neck.
Yeah.
Literally.
Wait, what?
He had a nickel for every time Steiner did that.
God damn, my childhood's ruining. Every time I do this
he
show.
He did a bulldog off the top.
How did you not see that?
I don't remember that, man.
He did a bulldog off the top and then his arm like overgrazed Bagwell's head. Bagwell's head goes into Steiner's sternum and jerks his head like that.
You guys, I know Corey didn't remember. We talked about it one time, maybe 2 years ago on the show. Do you remember Raven and Mortis? I think it was Mortis at the time, not Canyon. Were
how can you not?
They were tag teaming against the Vianos 4 and 5, and they fucked up.
Remember the Vianos?
You don't remember Viano 4 and Viano 5? They were just they were Mexican jobbers that worked in WCW.
Didn't they wear masks?
Yeah.
I remember.
I know the Conquistadors, but I do not know the Vianos.
Yeah, look for the Vianos. But they did a double powerbomb to where it was a powerbomb / neck breaker at the same time. And they hit this move on the guy and instantly broke the dude's neck. Stopped the match instantly. He was kind of like wiggling. They held him down. The ref does the fucking cross thing. I'll never forget that.
What's the cross thing? That's shit went wrong?
Yeah. They had a fucking bring out the docs.
They had a lot of that happen in WCW in the late 90s.
I just never forget. It was one of the first times I saw a major injury where they broke character, stopped the match, and you know had somebody come out and take a look at somebody. You
could probably do a whole show on that just in WCW in the late 90s. They had a handful of those.
Didn't get hurt often in a Hogan match. Not a lot of top rope working there.
Or Goldberg.
I've seen him come off the top rope one time, and that was to get slammed. I take that back twice.
I'm interested to see that neck breaker, though.
Yeah, good luck finding it.
Dude, it was
fucking
tough.
Yeah, search Viano matches.
I found a shitty, like, 5-second clip of it, the worst quality, like 240p. You know
sure
what I mean?
It wasn't a work?
No, it was. It looked real shit, man.
All right. Back to Hogan.
I'm going
to
find it.
So he's got a year-long... year and a half long, essentially, title reign. He lost to Luger one time for a week. I think that was to get people to buy fucking Road Wild. Since they didn't charge anybody to come into the fucking stadium or whatever they or just on a grounds.
Yeah, that's the only reason I could have seen them given the title to Luger at the time. Like, there's no other explanation for it.
There is. Well, Luger was over. Hogan got guys. Well, I take that back. The NWO got guys over.
Oh,
oh boy. Not good.
Fuck, looks, makes my neck hurt.
We'll check it out after.
Well, see, if I would have booked it, short version, I would not have had anyone take the belt off of Hogan until Sting of Starrcade.
Sure.
I would not have had Hogan lose at all. He lost to Luger. He lost to Piper twice.
Right. Non-title matches.
Yeah, though. Right. But just keep it going. Keep it hot. And I felt like Hogan losing those matches, it just kind of lost some steam. And it didn't. It didn't help. Hogan winning the title from Luger, not even a week later.
Sure, shit didn't hurt him in the ratings.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But it just, for me as a fan watching it at the time, I don't know.
I don't know, man. They came out fucking six times a night. I don't know how much it hurt, but I can tell you, it didn't slow down the NWO as a faction.
No.
And I mean, I looked. Man, Hogan did not wrestle much in 1997. I mean, not much at all.
Let's see.
They ran house shows here and there. 98, about the same. And then I thought I turned my phone off. But that was Brooklyn 9.
20 matches in all of 97, just counting them.
He lost to Jacques Rougeau in 97.
In 97?
20
yeah.
matches.
Wow.
Considering the fact that he was doing, 2 years earlier, like giant, like here's... Every day for 14 days, he wrestled and beat Ric Flair over in Germany in another different place. So,
yeah, tours are one thing.
Did you guys know that? He lost to the Mountie in 97.
Mountie.
Well, Rougeau promoted the show, and it was his going away. Here you go, Hogan.
I'm not seeing that on his list here.
But this all leads to the big Sting at Starrcade 97. And we're leaving out. You know what? Let's not leave out. Look at what Hogan did bringing in Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big fucking deal. Especially when Rodman was skipping practice during the week of the NBA championship to come in and wrestle or be on Nitro.
Yeah, pretty silly.
Can you guys believe that shit? Could you imagine if that shit happened today?
Yeah.
On Twitter?
They'd ream him.
It's oh, my
there
God.
There was no Twitter back then.
Be the end of the guy's fucking career.
Dude, I hated it, honestly, all of the worm stuff with Dennis Rodman. I felt like he was so out of place. Horrible wrestler, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know, the whole thing, they brought him in the Road Wild and, NWO, and he comes out on the motors. I just didn't buy it. I was so over it by that point.
More eyes on the product.
I get it. I mean, I totally get it. You're bringing in possibly millions of NBA fans to check out what Rodman's doing, but
well,
at the same time, as a wrestling fan, it's like you're patronizing.
Well, you've got Leno on there, too, so that throws in another...
And Karl Malone.
Karl Malone was there?
Yep.
Missed that one. Can't remember that.
Karl Malone and DDP versus Hogan and Rodman.
Oh, my
so
God.
Shit.
If you go to...
All you need is Jay Leno.
If you go to the Nitro match where Goldberg's wrestling Hogan, Malone does a diamond cutter on Henning on the floor, and the crowd loses it. I mean, the crowd pop was just... And granted, I don't know if it was overdubbed or not. I assume it wasn't, but...
Nah, not live. They played that shit out. They were happy that Goldberg was going to win the title.
Well, yeah. Anyway, getting ahead of ourselves.
Do you think it's bad that he brought that influence? I mean, I think in no way. I think if it weren't for Hogan, WCW would have closed shop in, fuck,
yeah,
like,
I think
95?
I think they were just trying to do the way I look at it, they were trying to do a second, not rock and wrestling, but whenever they brought celebrities in around Mania 1, and they were trying to recreate that because they realized, hey, this is what got WWF off the ground, so let's try it again and see if it works.
All right, so what do you like more, Raw's Attitude Era, or do you like more WCW early NWO when they are the,
fuck,
the
that's
fucking
tough,
army?
Man. That's
I know.
Tough.
I mean, what was more captivating television? Look at the whole card of a Nitro and look at the whole card of a Raw.
They're
you go
so,
back and watch some of that
so
shit.
So different,
it's
though.
Bad.
They are. They're you're very right. They're so different in what is attracting about each individual one. You know what I mean? It's I don't know, though. They both really had the, like, in the Attitude Era, it was kind of like against the management. You know what I mean? It was all like, and then the same thing with the NWO, how they were damn the man against that shit. They weren't, they were the outside,
outsiders.
Yeah, well, right, obviously. But you know what I'm saying? Like how it was against, like, their bosses. You know, same way with, like, the McMahon-Austin feud,
mm-hmm.
Like, it was, that's kind of the same, but everything else was just very totally different.
Well, Eric Bischoff will say that was stolen because he did it first.
Well, then, I mean, he might have a point, but it doesn't mean it wasn't good television. You know what I mean?
Give you that. You could say Hogan's responsible for WCW taking off. You can also say he's responsible for WWF taking off.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, 100%.
Because if it weren't for him, they wouldn't have stepped up their game.
That's true.
I mean, this guy deserves a lot of credit. And like we said last week, people hate the fucking guy now for obvious reasons. But, you know, he's got his place in history for a reason. Does he not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Best colorman in the biz.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking about us. We're the best colorman in the biz.
So this... And
there was a Hogan quote. Oh!
If nothing... Oh, boy. I did not see that coming. Also, Hogan's responsible for Sting becoming what Sting became. Is he not?
No. I think Sting was great before Hogan entered into WCW,
but without Hogan in the NWO, you never had Crow Sting, which is arguably the greatest thing he ever did.
I honestly liked the painted face fucking... Hey. High top Steve.
Hey, I'm not
Borden,
disagreeing with you. I loved that too.
Splash in the corner, followed up by the.
But ask me this: when was his career bigger? When did people care more about Sting than whenever he wasn't talking and showed up for a minute at the end of every show? Nobody cared more about Sting ever than that.
I mean,
in fact,
that's true too.
That last 10 minutes of the show, waiting for Sting to show up, was arguably 100 times more important than the other 2 hours of the show.
You know, was that before or after? Because he used to drop out of the ceiling on a cord, too. Is that before or after the whole Owen Hart incident? Because you'd think that...
Long before.
So that you think that would put like a, you know, like...
It did.
Yeah. Oof. I wouldn't have done that.
Broaden into it.
He stopped dropping from the rafters, though, after the Starrcade match, I think.
For the most part.
Really?
And that was late 97. Owen Hart's fall, that was 99. Mm-hmm. So...
It was that late, 99? Gosh, yep. I think, for whatever reason, 99, I was in high school. It just seems like it was way before that. Like, I was a kid when that happened.
You were a kid.
I went to the Raw the night after.
Oh, man. Where was that at? Because it happened in
St. Louis.
I was going to say, it happened in Kemper, so it probably was St. Louis.
Kansas City. Yeah, well, anyway.
They have the big thing, everybody come out with the fucking things on their arms, isn't that what happened?
Awful. It's an awful show. Yeah.
They did the whole Monday was like a...
Tribute.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad. Did not.
They gave his family the tape of that, didn't they? The only tape to ever exist of the actual him hitting the ring and shit. They gave his family the tape.
Not that I know of.
Pretty sure they did.
Maybe in court.
I thought they did.
Maybe in court.
I've heard that too. That, right. Like, the only video footage that existed, WWEF at the time.
Gave
it to Owen's family.
Yeah.
So they could watch it back? I'm not sure why.
Well, I don't know why either, but maybe...
To destroy it?
Probably. That was my only rationale of it is that, hey, you know, this isn't going to get into the wrong hands. It's not going to leak because it's now ours and we're going to get rid of it.
Well, I guess if you're into snuff films, somebody would want to see that. I wouldn't want to see it.
Hell no, I wouldn't want to see that. I don't know. I mean,
bad deal. But going back... All this led to this Hogan Sting thing. If you guys, we talked about this when we were doing our Monday Night Wars show, which you can find in our archives. Check it out. I think it was Monday Night Wars heading into this, and then we recapped this in 98. This Hogan Sting match at Starrcade is the worst fucking match I've ever seen.
Really? It was so disappointing. I mean, refresh me. So.
Hogan beats him clean in like 8 minutes.
There isn't anything.
Wow.
There's nothing of substance. I mean, Hogan and Sting go back and forth. The planned finish was supposed to be like Nick Patrick was supposed to fast count, but he just did a normal count. Hogan's got, well, doesn't really hook the leg. He kind of hooks him by his trunks. It's almost, anyway. Nick Patrick counts a normal 3 count, and then that's it. But then you've got a camera that cuts over to Bret Hart's trying to talk into a microphone. It's not picking up everything. And it was just horribly executed. I mean, just awful. And then like...
So it was like a mid-card match from 1982.
And even the match itself...
Mid-card matches were good in 82. Sorry.
Yeah. Fair.
Even the match itself, I mean, like Corey said, it was like a 7 to 8 minute match, and it was just...
Yeah, everybody shits on the Hogan Warrior match at Halloween Havoc. This match is just as bad. Their timing's off. Sting is completely rusty. I remember watching it that night at our buddy Justin's house, big party. Sting comes out, and he takes a shit off, and he does not look like the Sting I remember, at least at that point. And then they had the match, and it was just a fucking drizzling shits. It just wasn't good.
Sting got a couple of decent drop kicks in, but that was it. Everything else was just, it didn't look like Sting.
And then he went wild after that. Yeah.
So
it was a bad deal. And I mean, everybody talks about the death of WCW. I think they killed it right there.
That was the start of it. I agree. I mean, it had this year-plus long buildup to an eight-minute joke.
Squash. I think it was a squash. You watch it, you'll be like, huh, not much to this.
You know what we need to do? This would be a cool feature. Is every week we have matches that we talk about during the show, and we could try to send out like YouTube links or something along with the post. So whenever you're listening to the podcast, you can look in the description. Here's a link to that fucking Hogan and Sting match.
A lot of people are doing that.
We should do that, just saying.
Some people are doing watch-alongs, like a whole 3 hours.
We talked really? About doing that before, I
no
think.
No fucking way am I doing that.
I don't got time for that, nor the inclination.
Or the patience to sit through a fucking card from 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Even if you could sit through it, man. Oof. I don't know why I'd be wanting to listen to it. Maybe a 15, 20 minute, like I watched this last night. Here's my notes and the recap from it. That could be worth it. But to sit and watch it with you for 3 hours?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be as fun.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to watch anybody watch a pay-per-view.
Unless we're busting out Starcade 85 or something.
I mean, like now classics, we're
talking.
But,
now
but
we're
even
talking.
Then, do you want to watch somebody else watch that? Like, you can watch it over their shoulder more or less and listen to their commentary? Or would you rather just watch it?
Eh.
You learn a few things.
I guess depending on the commentary. Well, yeah, you guys. But... yeah, would you like to watch me and Eric watch it? No.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun for another reason.
No. But, This leads Hogan into 98, and they did some stuff, but how were you guys on WCW coming into 98? We just said, what did you like, the Attitude Raw era? Had you switched over? Were you flipping back and forth? Where were you at on Hogan's?
I was never a single product person. I never was just WWF or just WCW.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I never even thought about just being one or the other. It's back and forth. Whatever the better segment was on, that's what I'm watching.
So I didn't flip back and forth. What I did was I would watch one of them, but then record the other on a VHS tape and then watch it the next day.
Richie Rich here.
So basically, I'm going to school Tuesday morning just being like...
Don't spoil it.
Do not say a word. Not seeing it yet.
Well, then Nitro started doing replays right after the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, I remember that.
WWF guys have said they'd go back and watch it. Just see what they did.
Yeah.
So they knew a few things.
Do you remember whenever they would spoil Raw live on Nitro? That was some shit there.
What?
They only did it a couple times.
What'd they do?
Tell them a story, at least about, say, whenever, who was it, Cactus Jack dropped the belt or Foley, Mankind? Yeah.
Well, the first few times, a couple times, Bischoff did it in like the first 2 or 3 weeks of Nitro being on the air.
Sure.
Then he never did it again until Cactus Jack drops the title at the end of 99. That's the night of Finger Poke of Doom, and there's another Hogan moment for you. Ooh.
So what had happened is, obviously, Bischoff got the results for a pre-recorded Nitro show. At the beginning of the same time broadcast, he says, okay, don't bother watching that. Here's what happens tonight. Mick Foley picks up the title or loses the title, whatever it was. And
well, Schiavone's the one.
Match?
Yeah, he fucking spoiled the entire other show.
So Bischoff is telling Schiavone in his ear, like, this is what I want you to say. So Schiavone's like, you know, our version of Mick Foley is going to win their belt tonight. That'll put butts in the seats, was his comment. So then you had a mass exodus of people switch over to watch it happen.
Oh, backfire.
Yeah.
Yeah. That definitely happened.
Who do you think would be worse to have in your ear, Bischoff or McMahon?
Fucking bad
McMahon. By far.
I'll rip both ears off. Fuck those guys.
Michael Cole.
Oh, no, I can't remember that shit. No, no go. But this all, the 98 is when Goldberg gets big, and apparently it was Hogan's idea to drop it to him in July. I still find that hard to believe. But you go with the hot hand, at least Hogan knew that. But Hogan was getting ready for a few other things. I want to say he had knee surgery at that time, but maybe not. 98, he definitely had knee surgery, and... But I don't know, that might have been at the end of the year because he took some time off after the whole Ultimate Warrior debacle. And but in it, going in, Goldberg, this is all Goldberg getting over Hogan, but Hogan putting somebody over that he knew the time, knew the place. You know, everybody gets on certain guys. They go, oh, they wouldn't sell. They wouldn't do this. They wouldn't do that. Hogan was a politicker, but... I mean, sometimes he was pretty good at picking his poison. No?
You don't get to be the number one guy without knowing what battles to pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, who else was he going to do that for in that company? I mean, it was a company of big guys.
Yeah.
Although they do get on people like him for never wrestling, you know, Jericho, Guerrero, Steiner.
Steiner's one thing, but the cruiserweights I can see. Hogan versus cruiserweights, that's stylistically the two
Flair
most
did
different
it.
Things.
Flair did it.
Flair's a technical fucking guy, though, compared to Hogan. Hogan is not even a brawler, in my opinion.
Discuss, gentlemen. I mean, tell me. I don't know.
I mean, you had Guerrero. I forgot what pay-per-view it was. Guerrero wrestled Flair. It was like you said, Flair was a worker. You know, he was a better worker than Hogan. But it was still a good match. And so, at the time, I get it. People watching wanted the entertainment factor. They weren't so... Well, they obviously didn't care if you had a good match because they still had, you know, ratings after Starrcade. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was...
Well, hit rewind. He would take on Piper, Luger, the Giant. I can't think of much else. Vader. I mean, it was big, guys. Well, I mean, why didn't he wrestle Steve Austin? Why didn't he wrestle Cactus Jack? Why didn't he take on anybody else besides certain guys? I mean, people get in their comfort zones. I have no problem with that. Well, but they definitely held a lot of guys back.
Well, yeah, it's the same reason that Hogan didn't wrestle Bret Hart before he left WWF is because he didn't think he was big enough. He didn't think it was believable.
Right. I'm sure for Hogan I want to find a guy that I can set up a program with where I can wrestle the same match 30 times in a row. You know what I mean? Get the same pop that's easy, safe, and can continue my career as number one guy. Mm-hmm. And make sure, honestly... Make me look good. He probably didn't care too much at the time about making any of his opponents look good.
No, but he always did make his opponents look good. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, you're in the ring with Hogan, though. I mean, it's good for your career.
I mean, he
yeah.
sold like he was getting fucking killed.
Right.
I mean,
that's fair, but...
He'd always back it. For bad guys, to cower and to get scared, I mean, at least he did it. He could have just been like, let me just fucking beat this guy down. Sure. But he didn't do it.
Not true.
He had to make a good match, though. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? So
you don't always have to make somebody look good, though.
Yeah, but it's not making him look good. It's he doesn't want him to look good on his time. You know, I wouldn't either. If I was the number one guy, I wouldn't want to have Bret Hart come in, who is a technically solid wrestler, and have him do anything that could really elevate his status at the cost of mine.
Yeah, Hart would just come in, chop him down, and work the knee. I'm getting technical. Sorry.
That's what he would do. That's what he would do. Yeah, he'd come and do that little sidekick to the knee that he always did. And
yeah. What's your guys' favorite Hogan NWO anything?
The beard. Just straight out. I'm gonna say the beard.
Oh, we're not
the
a dyed, segment or
the
anything?
Dyed black beard.
Think about that. I mean, that's how he changed his character.
Yeah, that's all he did was grew stubble and dyed it black. I
mean, it's like on Star Trek when they go to the mirror universe and literally for the evil versions, they had goatees. In the 60s, that's where you're evil. We'll just throw a goatee on it. That's the evil version, the evil Hogan. Hollywood Hogan just has the dark black beard.
Yeah.
I think him coming out.
It's beautiful.
It's
a good look.
His entrance using Hendrix music, that was...
Yeah. Wow. 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 It was great.
No.
Oh, that's NWO. You're right. Standing next to him. That's what it was. Voodoo Child.
That's right.
In the debut of the Hollywood shirt.
Yeah. Dude, did he come out playing the fucking NWO belt?
Mm.
You'd hate it, but love it. It was very iconic, man. He did a good job rebuilding that character. You got to give him that.
Oh, absolutely.
And he still does that air guitar thing today. It cracks me up.
I don't know why I'm still doing this.
He just does it with feather boas, baby.
Yeah.
Come on.
Or nothing at all. I mean, he came, whatever mania he hosted, he came out with just him, but he...
Just fucking...
He knew how to work the crowd, man. He knew, you know,
hey,
he,
if it works
he was
for Bill
a
and
very
Ted.
Good showsman. That's why he got into movie. I mean,
Well, here's what doesn't make sense.
Acting.
At this point, he's, you know, using Real American again at Mania, what was it, Mania 30? I don't know. But he's still doing the air guitar thing, so it worked.
That's right. It always works.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, baby.
What's your favorite NWO Hogan anything?
I like the spray painted belt. I like how he beat Giant and he spray painted the belt was a Giant.
Yeah.
And he fucking NWO right on the belt, man.
They just kept spray painting.
Tag that shit. You know what I mean?
I'm struggling to come up with anything specific, but
I was a big fan of his gear. I loved all the black. Eventually he did some more shit.
I like lightning bolts on him, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the boots always look good. Mm-hmm. He eventually got some white ones that he did some shit with it. I'm a big gear guy. I'd love to do a wrestling gear show.
You got any gear in your collection?
No.
You got no briefs?
No.
I do remember his gear from, and he probably had it elsewhere, but whenever he wrestled Flair at Uncensored, that First Blood cage match where he had like the black tights, but then the white boots, it just...
I love that look.
It was good. It was good.
He always looked clean. Everything always looked new. He was just always dressed well. My eyes.
Mm-hmm.
At least how you look in a ring. I'm a big thing about players, how they wear their uniforms, too. So,
can you imagine this if Hogan was not balding?
Do you remember after that?
No, I can't.
That Three Ninjas movie where he came in with the fucking wig?
No.
How long have you been waiting to say that today?
Oh, my God.
I like to bring that up as often as possible.
I actually think we brought it up like,
you know what I mean,
4 weeks in a row.
Oh, yeah, we did bring up the extensions. But can you imagine what kind of hair, what kind of character would
we
be if he wasn't balding?
The flat top where he wore the bandana, and then you could see his flat top above it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that good?
He's got my mustache right there.
He does have your
stash. He cut it off. He cut it off right here.
Just trimmed it down a little. Kind of reminds me of my dad, to be honest with you.
and we're getting later. Yeah, without
mustache-less.
The stash, it's fucking crazy. I think he'd do himself a favor if he cut it off.
Looks horrible.
No, he needs to just get permanent mustache and implant. So he doesn't have to shave or anything anymore. It's just there till he dies.
A permanent mustache implant.
Yeah.
These pictures just keep getting better and better.
That's the one I'm talking about.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. He put a scalp on.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Oh, it was terrible.
That is terrible.
They ripped it off like 5 minutes
into the match. That was so great when they pulled it off.
That's terrible.
Act like somebody had shot him in the head when they did it, too. That's what he was good at.
Yeah.
He was good at that shit.
Right.
We talked about this latter part of 98 is when we get into Karl Malone and Jay Leno, and then Ultimate Warrior comes back, and I know you guys are Ultimate Warrior fans. I am not.
Not a huge one, but...
But that's a big stinker he had, but he did get on the front page of USA Today putting Jay Leno in an arm lock. You know, they did... It didn't... I don't think it hurt him. It did to a point, but they were still pulling ratings in fours. I don't know if they got a five at any time.
It's hard to say if it hurt him or not. It didn't hurt him in the short term, because they were still pulling ratings and whatnot, but what if it kind of went to the downfall of the brand, in my opinion? You know, you're becoming the sideshow act, and you can't come back from that. You did that. So,
well, the big downfall starts with the finger poke of doom, trying to put the belt back.
Yeah, that's so bad. That was lazy. I mean, it's like maybe nobody's watching this week.
That was 99, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're at.
Yeah, well, just the
unless
thing,
we're missing something,
no, just
feel free.
No, just the thing I was going to bring up about the Warrior Hogan match, like it was so bad that I think it's like one of only three or four in the history of pro wrestling that Meltzer gave a negative 5 stars.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Meltzer's a cock.
No, I agree. That match definitely deserved it, but I didn't like Warrior either.
No. Nah,
I mean, talk about. Never mind.
Keep rolling along.
Forgive me. But this gets into NWO Red and White and all that shit.
They had the Latin American version, the Japanese version.
Yeah, it just got so ugly. It got bad.
I'd like to know in that period of the NWO period of WCW, which wrestlers on contract were not ever NWO.
Could have swore we'd looked that up at one time.
Did we? Because that's some interesting info. Could have been many.
Been at the 28.
Can any of you name one person who didn't ever go NWO in WCW during that time?
Piper,
Diamond Dallas
DDP,
Page.
Yeah,
it's the first guy I always think of.
Are we including? This is just NWO.
Chris Jericho.
Jericho never went.
Nope. No.
Jericho, Guerrero, Mysterio.
No, Guerrero did. Come on, he was in the Latin American version.
That's why I just asked. Are we including that?
Yeah. Okay. Totally. Any version of NWO.
If you wear the black and or black
Wrath
and, red
and
black
Mortis,
and
second Mortis reference today.
Yeah, Dust Wunderkid.
I was so sad when he killed himself.
Yeah, Alex Wright was never in the
that's true.
In the
yeah,
NWO.
But I think he was gone by then. And he was Berlin by that time anyway.
So. Oh, it matters.
Chalk it
These
up.
Things
it
matter.
Matters. You're right.
Das I mean,
that's
Wunderkid?
What we're here for.
That's right. We're here to set the record straight.
Was he actually German?
No,
Alex Wright.
I don't know.
I got to find
I
that
doubt
out.
It.
I think he is. I'm pretty sure he is.
Really?
In fact, yeah, he's a trainer now. He has a wrestling school, I believe. You guys can look that up while we look it up.
So, we got a couple more.
He is German.
Pretty much anybody of Raven's flock.
Yeah, Van Hammer never got in.
Oh. Van Hammer was great.
He Malenko.
When he did the suplex off the top rope.
Yeah, Dean Malenko.
Any of the
Chris Benoit.
Any of the horsemen, yeah.
Kidman, Benoit, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, never NWO. Anything else you want to know, E?
Mongo.
I'm working on it. Was Hugh Morris and his group, did they ever go? I think Hugh Morris eventually did. General Erection or whatever it was, General Erection.
Kamala was never in the NWO.
But was he around during that time?
I don't know. I'm just naming Kamala. Wrestlers now.
George the Animal Steele, never NWO.
No. Dusty Rhodes was.
Dusty Rhodes was.
What about Dustin? He wasn't in the company.
Never.
He was seven.
He was Gold Dustin.
He was seven.
Seven. Was that the one where he came out?
The work shoot promo where he's like his white face and
he was only in WCW for what, one day with that gimmick? And just like he came out, did that promo, and that was the end of it, right?
Dude, you know, I think I know what you're talking about. I think it lasted one segment.
He comes out, his you know, first time out, does this fucking horrible powder faced, you know, just completely white in the long leather black trench coat with the Undertaker fucking cowboy hat, and just buries the gimmick. Like, they want me to come out here and do this. You got me dressed up like some kind of goddamn albino. This is bullshit. You know, it just basically buries the whole angle. And
but
that's
it. It was still a work because
it was a holy.
They had to change rid of the gimmick because of like outside stuff going on. Like there was something in the news at the time about some kid getting
albinos.
Abducted. Yeah,
I would. At that point, I would just said, "Fuck it, don't even." Don't go out there and say anything.
Well, no. So the problem was in the build up to that, like the why can't I think of the word? Like the promos or whatever had him.
The vignettes or whatever.
That's it. Had him outside a kid's window, like dark outside. But at the same time, it's like you had this mainstream news story about some kid getting abducted.
I can't figure out why this company went out of business. Boggles the mind. I know.
Sid Vicious, he was never.
It definitely wasn't because of the buff back walk.
Yeah.
Though.
He couldn't stay in a company long enough.
That's not at all why they went.
Sid Vicious never joined NWO. He only stabs people.
He couldn't stay in a company long enough, though. What was his longest runs at the time? A year?
Who?
Sid Udy.
God, fuck. He was playing softball.
I don't know. He
was always playing softball.
What was
softball.
The last week or the week before we watched his gnarly leg break and
leg
almost
break
got
off the
sick?
Top rope.
Jesus, that was bad.
It is bad.
You get a red and yellow Hogan in 99. You get jack shit with Vince Russo. That's where we'll pick up next week with T.O. when we bring him back.
Right on.
Right now, gentlemen, I want to play a game. And we all know that every game has to have a winner and a loser.
I'll be the loser.
And that's why we are going to play Name That Tune.
Oh, that's my favorite game.
Is it Harlem Heat?
With Alex. With Alex.
We have both.
Big E and Eric. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you guys each three songs. You guys got to name the...
This is the best thing that's ever happened.
You guys got to name...
Harlem Heat.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Okay.
Just let's get to the goddamn things. I tried to tell everybody at the beginning, and I forgot to tell everybody to stick around till the end.
Is it Doink?
It's got to be Harlem Heat. You're wrong.
Here we go. Fuck. This is going to be... Okay, you're going to get 5 seconds of the song. You have
Who
to
goes
name
first?
That tune. Alex is going to lead us off.
It's not Harlem themes?
Alex is going to lead us off. All right. These are wrestling theme songs. First...
Do you have a chance to steal an order?
You don't have a chance to steal shit, motherfucker. Okay. Actually, yeah, you can steal it.
All right. Harlem after Heat. He has his chance to answer.
God damn it. Alex,
choke you.
You are up first. Well, we'll give you the time period. Let's go late 80s, early 90s, WWE. Ready?
Yep.
Alex is up.
Rockers.
Damn, that was fast.
Alex is
are you sure it wasn't Harlem Heat?
Alex is one. Jesus.
I'm kind of with you. That wasn't Harlem Heat.
No, because Harlem Heat.
No, I know. We are good. Big E is up next.
All right, I'm ready.
You got 5 seconds.
Here we go.
5 seconds.
Give me that one.
Who you got?
British Bulldog.
British Bulldog is correct.
Very Jesus, good. I knew that one, and I'm terrible at this.
Very good.
Harlem Heat.
Moving on.
Can you please just play Harlem Heat?
Look, dude, just give me a fucking second here. All right.
All right, what do we get?
Oh. Eric.
Jeez.
Present.
Go.
That's an easy one.
It's Ric Flair.
No.
No. It's play. Play it again.
No. It.
You got 5 seconds. Here's what you get the rest of it.
3.5. Play it again.
Play it again.
There's not. It's not like any fucking words come.
Alex the Steel.
Can I steal?
Yeah, I'd say so at this point. He said 2 or 3 5 seconds.
Get it, Alex.
It's Mr. Perfect.
It is Mr. Perfect.
Exactly.
Spits his gum out, smacks it. I fucking
throws
like
the towel behind him.
Yeah.
Throws the
forgot about
basketball.
This isn't fair. Alex gets to follow Eric, who's going to be dropping points, and I follow Alex, who's never dropping points. So
we'll find out.
All right.
Alex, you are back.
Why don't we start round two?
What's the time frame on this one?
This is 90s WCW.
It's a good tune.
You're getting way longer than 5 seconds.
It's going to be the same thing over and over. You can just turn it off.
Yeah, I got this one.
Do you?
Harlem Heat.
That's close.
Whoa, you got it. You're not even going to give a guess?
I'm thinking. Early 90s WCW.
He's almost
now. I need the Jeopardy.
Booker T by itself.
Oh, yeah, it was singles Booker.
Maybe Stevie Ray, one of the two.
It's not Johnny B. Badd, is it?
Incorrect. Anybody have a guess?
I have no clue.
No.
That is the Steiner Brothers. Huh. Just no lyrics.
Oh, well, that's why.
Here's the story of two brothers, Rick and Scott.
I know, yeah.
Jesus I love it. Christ.
Okay, that's why I didn't. Yep.
Big E.
I'm ready.
90s WCW.
Uh-oh.
He's a man.
Oh, that's not fair.
Why not?
There's lyrics.
I can't hear it with Alex. No, I don't know. I honestly, if I'm going to know it, I'll have it in the first second, and I don't have
Steel.
It.
Steel.
Play it again.
He's a man.
Is this when Buff went?
Nope. Is this? I know.
Yeah, Sting? I don't know.
Sting?
No, it's Hogan.
Alex with another steal.
God damn you!
I thought you were gonna say, "Is that American Males?"
That's what I was thinking. Like American Males, huh?
Now, who would have thought that this would be Eric's next one?
Oh, good lord!
No talking.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. I don't think he's going to get it.
That's fucking Harlem Heat, baby. I know that one. Fucking love Harlem Heat. But can we play that again, though?
Oh, Jesus.
I think we've had enough.
Now, can you name the fucking Harlem Heat? Do you know their names?
Booker T and Stevie Ray.
What were the names before?
He used to do that fucking breakdance move. Remember?
Spinaroonie.
Yeah, that Booker T move was cool.
I don't know their names before.
The Spinaroonie. Never heard it. Now, Alex, now. So now that we've gone, what we go? Late 80s, early 90s, WWF. And now we
Colin
are going
Kane.
To. Now we are going to the Attitude Era.
Uh-oh.
Alex, you're up. Name that tune.
Val Venus.
Hello, ladies.
Very good. Very good. Very, very
fucking
good.
Fucking love Val. I don't care. He was Rick Rude Jr. and he did it just as good.
I think that might just need to be our theme from now on.
Throw a little glass break at the beginning and then go into that. I'm with it.
it had to be that. That's great. All right. Big E.
That would be fun to do just like theme mashups and just see what you could come up with.
Big E, here's your Attitude Era theme.
Attitude Era. Is this the Oddities? I'm fucking it up, aren't I?
Is that your final answer?
Not the Oddities, because that was... I don't know who it is.
Okay.
Steel.
I got nothing.
The Brood / Gangrel.
That's what it was. The goddamn Brood. Horrible. Gangrel was horrible.
Wow.
The Brood.
Wow.
He had Edge and Christian. I mean, they had that going on for him. Who else
did they
have in the Brood?
Oh, that was it.
Is that it? Just those three?
Edge, Christian, Gangrel.
Yep.
Wasn't Luna Vachon ever involved with that? Like, for some reason, I want to say Luna was involved with Gangrel at one point.
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, they were married.
Oh, they were married? I didn't know that.
She dead, though.
Is she? That's a bummer.
She died. It is sad. Eric?
Let's hear it.
Here's your third just fucking easy. Oh, couldn't even get Mr. Perfect.
I know.
you got Harlan Heat, though. Ah, God damn it.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Nothing? Can I steal?
Wait a minute. He hasn't even gotten...
How could you not know this?
I get it from that. Now you're just cheating to give me points. That's gold dust.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know
Good
that.
Good thing though. You didn't need any help there. Alex wins with 5.
Right. He got everyone.
Alex had 12 out of 9.
Big
somehow.
E got 1.
All right.
And you got the 2 gimmies, even though I gave you 3, for fuck's sake.
I'm gonna bitch about this and say your contest was malformed. The second round should have started with me.
Malformed?
Third round should have started with him. That way our skips could have been a little bit better. Or maybe even go the opposite direction.
Corey, I got one for you.
Like any theme, like any game show, this can always be fixed.
Oh, yeah. I just want to bitch because I lost.
This
it wasn't my fault. It was yours.
All you got to do is plug this little plug. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how podcasts work. You just do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
Oh, no.
Because we have fun.
You're giving Eric direct access?
Well, I hope he realizes how loud this may be if he doesn't turn his sound down.
Oh, okay. Good call. That's a good pre-warning.
As you kill our iTunes listeners.
The next part's the best, though, when it gets dark.
If this is that version, one or two of them?
I bet this isn't that version. You know how it gets, like, real dark?
This is actually the theme song they played for me when I walked out of wrestling because I didn't want to watch anymore because of shit like that. Perfect timing. I was like, fuck this. Stuff. Matt Bourne should not be doing this. Okay, we're gonna finish up. We're gonna finish up with Hogan Part 3 next week as you hear Goldust playing in the background.
I still love that character. I don't
care. We're gonna finish up Hogan's last run. Here in the WWF, and then when shit got really interesting, Hogan knows best. Some racial slur using, some sex tapes, some Gawker lawsuits.
I hate to extend this.
No, you don't.
I do a little because I got to go pick my wife like 3 minutes ago, but. I love the Goldust character and it's 20 years of work that he did on that character, but can you imagine what would have came of Dustin Runnels had he not had that character? Like what he could have accomplished maybe in some other fashion? Because the kid could work.
He probably could have been another Barry Windham.
Oh, that's not nice.
You know, a lot of people see Windham as a mid-card performer. This is going to drag out way too long. Anyway.
You're right. Sorry.
But you just said we can do whatever we want, so.
That's true, but we do have to go eventually. So people have to leave the studio.
Let's put a pencil in this and come back to it or something.
Well, yeah, T.O. will be back next week. We'll then it gets fun.
Yeah, it wasn't fun this time. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying you trying to not know Hogan's WCW theme.
Yeah.
I can't fucking believe that.
That's pretty bad.
American Made?
I'm gonna go hit myself.
I think that's all the lyrics. American Made, American.
It's pretty bad, though. I probably just blocked that out on purpose. It's pretty bad.
I can't believe you didn't get the Steiner Brothers, Alex.
I would have got it with the
just because it didn't have lyrics.
Well, I would have got the. I would have recognized the guy's vocals. I don't know who sung it, but like if you would have threw in just any line that didn't reference the Steiners, I would have got it.
See, it was like E used to do Name This Wrestler with me, and I think he finally got me with somebody in a headlock, and you couldn't make out like their face. I was supposed to make out their forehead. He gave me Austin Idol 1 week. He gave me the unpredictable Johnny Rods.
Ooh.
And then who was the other guy?
Fuck, I don't know. I don't
Hong Chi or something?
Yeah, I got real
you
desperate.
You fucking know who it was.
I got real desperate at the end and just found like
Ron Bass.
The loosest version of a professional wrestler you could find.
This guy worked San Francisco in 65. Come on.
What's your problem, man? I thought you were the wrestling snob. I thought you knew this shit.
It's true. I should have known it. I'll give you that. All right. We'll be back next week. We're going to finish up the Hogan Super Show next week with part 3 for Alex, for Big E, for Eric, for T.O. who's not here, and for me, Corey. We'll be out of here next... We are out of here. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.